I've tried to stay away from the barn for the most part, just let everybody do their job. But in the end, I don't think that really has made any difference because, you know, you can feel the camaraderie. I mean, it certainly grew in Kentucky and carried on here. And I mean, they did an amazing thing because they had a whale of a time and won the horse race. So that was great.
You plan on renting a house near Belmont?
I'm going to tell them they can rent whatever they want. You know, they can rent a whole office building for all I care. I mean, whatever works. You know, this race coming up is for all the marbles, right? So we want everybody mentally fit and doing their thing. And I'm sure the lack of tension around the horse is good for the horse.
But who's in charge of deciding the arrangements up there?
Ultimately, Doug. Yeah.
But, I mean, they're getting ready to go, like, soon. Do they know where they're staying, or do you have somebody working on it?
I haven't a clue where they're staying. I just know I'll get the bill in the end, and I'm quite happy with that. That's my job. So, you know, I got the easiest job.
Dennis told something that I didn't realize, that right after the hammer knockdown on this horse, the underbidder offered 60 for him, and he called you up and said, you know, this guy's offering 60 for the horse.
What could we do with that $25,000, right? well, you know, Dennis was prepared to go higher in bidding for the horse, so the fact that we bought him for $35,000 and could have sold him for $60,000 really wasn't here or there, because he would have given that much anyway. So, you know, when he won for the first time as a two-year-old, I remember teasing Dennis that we just got an offer of $500, Dennis. I made it up just to see what he'd say. Right? And what do we did? What? 500? Do you think we should sell? I go, easy. I'm just joking with you. You know, I mean, to me, watching the horse, even run the very first time in Hollywood when he won going 5.5, I wouldn't say we were surprised, but I think he paid like $11 that day. And the interesting thing is, on pedigree and on looks, we expected the horse to develop as a 3-year-old. And showing enough talent to win a 2-year-old maiden sprint, you know, portended some good things, is the way I felt. And
Paul, didn't Dennis have an offer for 65 right after the sale, and then he called you on the phone? And said,
well, it was 60 when he...
Yeah. Yeah.
Who did that?
Yeah, that is a great picture. Yeah, but what I was saying earlier was that we were prepared to go higher than the 35, so it really didn't matter, you know.
You think you can get Visa to come up with the $5 million again?
You know, I was looking and saying, how in the hell did Shackelford get more money for winning last year than we did this year? But when they come up with these bonuses, like, you remember a few years ago, Oaklawn put up a bonus, and bang, first year.
$5 million, yeah.
Rory Jones hit it, and then last year, Magna had a bonus for winning...
The
Santa Anita Derby, and I think it was the
board even.
And the hit the board was worth something when we hit
the Florida Derby, winning won a classic, yeah.
And winning well, and the or the Santa Anita Derby, as I recall, right? So the horse would have won that this year, but thank goodness for their balance sheet that they didn't do that again. although I'm going to speak to Mark Verge about this and see if.
What kind of memories are you going to take away from Baltimore?
Good ones.
Well, of what Baltimore meant to this horse, you guys getting here so early and really embracing the preparation for the 12 days here.
Well, I think that everybody in Baltimore has been very kind to the operation. People have had a great time. The hospitality has been fantastic. I also would just in general take away from the trainer doing things the way he wanted to do them. So everyone was quite shocked when, you know, initially after the Derby, he was talking about doing the conventional thing of staying at Churchill and then coming here late, and then thought it over and changed his mind and decided to come to Baltimore right away. And people were like, oh, I don't know about that move. And, you know, in hindsight, it looks like a great move. And I know he loved it here at Pimlico, and it was a little quieter than it might have been otherwise. And horse seemed to skip over the track, and you know, it just worked out perfectly.
Is there a moral here that when you have a jockey that's never been in the Triple Crown and what a great job he did, and Doug, as you said, that I mean, he'd only been in one other Derby. doing things maybe a little different than what the textbook says? Is there a moral that there's a lot of people that if you get the right horse?
Well, I don't think the moral I would take is that there is no textbook. And performing at the highest level depends a lot upon a person's natural intuition of how they feel, what works for them. And, you know, because so-and-so did it a certain way, that doesn't mean that it would work for that same person again in those same circumstances or that someone else should do it. You really got to go by your own judgment. And I always say that, you know, we've had 137 of these, 138 of the derbies, but really, that's not a lot. And the world circumstances have changed over time, and what worked 50 years ago might not be the best now for a variety of reasons. And